What's going on? It's taken so long. I've been waiting here for like 20 minutes. Where are they? I'm supposed to be recording.
Merc! Merc!
Oh!
Oh, God!
Hey, Bri!
I have terrible news!
Here.
Kyle's dead!
What's your news?
Kyle's dead!
What?
Dead serious about recording this episode! Which doesn't explain why we're 20 minutes late. Look, we got our fingers caught in each other's zippers.
It's true! But it was Kyle's fault. Let's kill him!
Get his finger out of my zipper first.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Zero Issues
Comic Podcast!
Excelsior!
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
It doesn't always start with a song, but when it does, I appreciate it.
I mean, there's the theme song, but there's another song.
No,
it's all singing, all dancing. You can't see the dancing. Just assume that we're dancing. This week's special guest star, Ted Danson.
Oh,
I'm Ted Danson.
Handsome Ted Danson.
Little so. Dancing man. God, I love
Dancing Queen.
Mm-hmm. So damn talented. Damn. Nah, I got nothing.
Anyways, I'm Merc.
I'm Bri.
And I'm Kyle.
Let's go to the news.
Sounds great.
Current Zero News Flash.
First up on the news, I'm going to kind of follow up on a story that I reported, I don't know, it was last episode or the episode before. Disney has been picking up rights to a bunch of things, like they bought Conan and Aliens, like all the Fox things they got, and one of those was Predator. And on the previous episode, I reported they were, I think Ed Bryson is doing a new Predator title coming out this summer, and they were going to be releasing like some collections and an omnibus and a few other things. I'm not even sure of the whole Gambit that was coming out.
Gambit's there?
Apparently, Gambit?
Gambit versus Predator.
Apparently, over 30 projects have been axed overnight.
Ooh.
Like Predator?
Canceled. What? On hold, all the Predator stuff, all of it's canceled or on hold or something.
Hmm.
Nobody knows any idea what's going on.
Wow.
Like that ongoing one, Omnibus Collections. I think toys might be in there as well, but I'm not sure. No reason has been given, but Newsrama did report that some of the people involved weren't told till April 1st.
And then they thought it was a joke, maybe.
Yeah. So, you know.
Could be.
They had to get those turned out within, like, a couple of days, so they didn't get started right away because they thought it was a joke. That's the end of it.
Yeah. Mm.
Comic publishing is it's a nightmare. That's interesting. I don't, like, again, yes. You have a whole slate plan to just cancel it all outright out of nowhere. There's something's interesting. I don't know.
But who knows? Maybe it is a joke. I don't know.
Maybe they realized that 30 different Predator things was too many Predator things.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Predator, but I don't like the Predator.
30 more than 30. Anybody
yeah,
wanted.
Yeah. I'll take, like, 4 Predator things.
How many Predator movies have there been, and how many of them were good?
There have been, what, are we counting the Alien ones?
I mean, they were in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I count it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, 6?
That's not
so
that many.
Predator 1, 2... AVP 1 and 2, Predators,
mm-hmm.
Predator.
The so Predator.
That's,
that last
yeah, that's
was
six.
Horrible. That was horrible.
Oh. The most recent one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why? No Danny Glover.
That's true.
That's true.
I mean, everyone since Predator 2 has not been very good.
I actually didn't mind the Predators one.
Yeah, but Danny Glover was, he was working a boom mic.
He was there.
You check the credits.
You're
now,
there.
You go do that. We'll stop the show for a bit.
You're one ugly mother.
Let me jump onto this next bit of news. There was the 2019 one-shot, Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child. I'll be honest, I never read it. Didn't really know much about it.
You know what? I was talking to our mutual friend and booth sharer, Colin Rackham, and he had read it.
Yep.
And he said, oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So somebody read it.
Of course, that is Dark Knight Returns stuff, all by Frank Miller, all written by him. This particular one, the art was by Raphael Grandpa. The original art...
As opposed to Grandpa Raphael, the old Ninja Turtle.
I know, I was waiting for a joke there. The original art that Raphael did has gone on sale under his studio agency site. It went on sale as of late March, and in the first 24 hours, almost $200,000 has been made. And that's only a third of the pages sold. In the end, Whoa. It could be upward of like $500,000.
Wow, good for him.
Wowzers.
Yeah, I was like, what? Like, it's good. Don't get me wrong, it's good. But I'm like, holy crap, that much of a commodity? Like, I could see maybe the original Dark Knight stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Weird. Just having that name maybe has a certain cash for people. Yeah. Like, it's everyone's grandmas are buying them. It's like, I want Dark Knight Returns pages. It's like, I'll get them for you. It's like, it's the same thing. It's like, it's not the same thing, Grandma.
It's got my name on it. It's meant for me.
That's fine. I'll just set these down by my TurboGrafx-16 sullenly, and I still love you.
I went and asked the man at the store.
Another big thing in the news, a major deal that has hit the news. Marvel made a deal with Random House for their direct market distribution. If you remember last year, springtime last year, DC switched off Diamond Distribution and mm-hmm. made their own deals with other companies to distribute to direct markets through them. Marvel is doing a similar move. Random House, I believe, was already distributing their trade stuff to other markets, but they are picking up the whole shebang. Apparently, you can still get it through Diamond, but Diamond would be buying from Random House is like and housing it as like a secondary subseller or something of that.
Wow.
Some
warehouse. kind of an insult, really.
And so there was all this kind of reaction of like, especially from retailers of like, oh, what does this mean now? Because the DC one was a bit of a debacle until they at least kind of got rolling. Because really, if you think about it, they've been ordering from one company for how many years? You just get everything from this company. You have your set deals and your set terms and everything.
And if you don't like it, nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's parts to that dealing with Diamond as well, but at least you know this is what I have to deal with. It's all in one place. Gene Haynes, who's the owner of an Ontario-based chain store called The Dragon, and she's the recent president of the Comic Book Retailer Trade Association, Comics Pro, made an article just kind of outlining the ups and downs of this sort of deal. The downside being like stores are worried about losing their discounts that they had with Diamond, the workload increasing because you're adding an additional distributor, and worried about comic book packaging, which I guess was a big deal with some of the DC ones. Because if you're not used to dealing with how to properly package comics as opposed to just normal books, it can be a bit of a disaster and a lot of stuff was getting damaged.
Yeah.
But she said she is looking forward to it because on the upside, Random House, I guess they already kind of deal with them on a certain level. It's an excellent company, central, and they've been central to growing the trade market for the past number of years. They include displays, terms, and apparently free shipping, which I
wonder if that's just in the States or if it's like also elsewhere.
But the thing is, she's based in Ontario, so okay. I don't know if that... It's free ground shipping, apparently. I guess if you want anything else, maybe it's different. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works for them. And apparently comics and graphic novels will be shipped separately to avoid damage.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, like, Diamond obviously has been, you know, kind of a monopoly for a long time, and they're not always great to deal with in a lot of ways themselves, but, you know, it's also, like, also a big company kind of gobbling it up, too, which isn't necessarily a good thing, and again, if it's more work, that's a
gobbler.
Problem. So, gobbler. Yeah, yes. Just yelling gobbler.
Gobbler.
But one way or another, yeah, it looks like things are definitely changing across the board. Because, I mean, like, once the two big guys are out, basically done with Diamond.
Yeah, Diamond doesn't really have as much power as they used to. You know, there was Emerald a while ago. And, like, who knows how the next 5 years are going to shake out with that.
So I have a few things. First off, Black Widow, it's been announced. I guess very recently, a couple days ago, there was new trailers for that and the Loki show.
Yeah, which I the final trailer.
The final trailer. Yeah. Because Black Widow is now... Yeah, a whole year, yeah. So apparently Black Widow now, they've announced, is simultaneously releasing on theaters and on Disney Plus as like premium content that you pay for, like everything you watch from home now, like VOD. And theaters are not happy about that. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, some of them actually, AMC apparently threatened to stop playing Disney movies at all, saying if we could not find business terms that we found acceptable, they won't be playing Disney. Which, it's such an odd situation, because, I mean, clearly they're pretty dependent on Disney, I think, in a lot of ways, too, because they're, like, the biggest game in town, right? So,
yeah.
That's, so I don't know, how does that end well? I don't know.
I mean, theaters have to understand that right now, they aren't necessarily safe.
Yeah.
And, like, the only alternative is you can either release them at home and also release them in the theaters, which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or hold on to these things forever.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like they've
been
doing with Black Widow.
Yes. Just hang on to it. Shelf.
Like, I get it. The movie theaters are losing out on a lot of money, and they want to make money, but we all want to make money, kind of, right?
I would like to live.
You don't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. Yeah, I'd much rather not die.
I mean, it depends on the movie.
Or not have other people die.
Well, look, if you've got your priorities all mixed up, whatever, Kyle.
So it's funny how like this followed up the Penguin Random House talk, because I feel like the comic book cinematic universes are really taking on more of they're becoming more like comic books all the time, because you have the companies and the ones who distribute their products have a strained relationship, and they're sort of like, well, we're gonna release them over here instead of going through you, the theater and or comic book store. And finally, I feel the most important thing, the MCU experience is finally exactly like the comic experience, because, you know, I enjoy reading my comics, I like my crossovers, I like all of these universes, shared universes, but, you know, watching comic movies in a room with a lot of people just feels sick and wrong. I want to watch my comic movies alone in my basement, just like comic books, how it was meant to be. And
I want a big jock to show up at my house, punch me in the face, take my movie, and leave.
Just swirly, yeah.
But that's my lunch movie.
If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
And lastly, so we had a few cancellations in movies, too, which came as a bit of a surprise. Well, one of them came as a surprise.
Yeah.
So the Trench, which was like a spinoff of Aquaman, which, I mean, was this ever going to happen? It was never going to happen.
To be honest, like the way that they were pitching it, it was going to be more a horror movie-esque. If they could, it has potential. It could be interesting.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Knows?
New Mutants was really good. It worked out. It proved the concept. It was a good proof of concept movie, right? Yeah. New Mutants.
Look, if you're just going to be negative...
2018, baby!
That's it. You are dead.
Oh, sorry
Brian, you were saying.
I was mourning for the appropriate amount of time.
Did we lose connection? Yeah. What's
I was mourning for the appropriate amount of time, like 4 seconds. I love you.
Right.
So the Trench has been canceled, but also New Gods, which was looking like it was going to be a big thing. Like, Ava DuVernay, I think, was directing, and Tom King was writing, and it was pretty hyped up, and that's getting the cut. And I guess the official reason was that they had, like, too many projects on the slate, and by the time they got around to it, I mean, it was sort of like they were just, like, kind of letting them go so they could do other work instead of just waiting for it to come around because they're, like, under contract, right? So that was the official thing. I mean, they do have, like, a ton of movies coming out. They've announced a bunch more. Black Adam is apparently happening. They had a whole stunt and everything.
We didn't talk about that. Like, is it actually, like, it's been announced every 6 months for the past
Let me go get my hat so I can eat it.
They had, like, I forget where it was, like Times Square or something, where they had, like, all the, or LA, I don't know, where, like, one of those, like, city centers where they have all, like, the giant screens, and they all went black, mm-hmm. and all the lights went off, and then, like, Black Adam thing came out, and, you know, Dwayne Johnson is like, I'm going to be in this movie and it's happening for real.
Yeah. He just paid for all of that. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's happening for real.
Totally.
And that's the bottom line because a different wrestler said that. Ugh. Kyle's very mad at me, as he should be.
The thing with The Rock is that he had zero catchphrases, right?
That's true. Well, I don't.
He had a catch eyebrow.
Yeah.
He did.
He could catch all sorts of things on that.
Mm-hmm.
He was never cooking, and you could never smell what he's cooking, famously.
Mm-mm.
If everyone would be like, what are you cooking? It's like, you can't smell that. I guess you can't smell that was his catchphrase.
He had, you can't smell that. I hope you can't smell that. It definitely matters what your opinion is, and I value it.
Yeah, that's it.
The Rock says, open your mouth and eat what I'm baking that you can't smell, because you're smell blind.
It's true, because you're smell blind. Exactly.
Smell.
And of course, Black Adam coming soon, which he's been saying since his wrestling career started. So, I'm very happy. Adam. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. He's got two cousins. He's got White Adam and he's got Black Adam. And he's like,
Yeah.
He also calls White Adam, White Adam. He doesn't, like, call him Adam.
No. That would be.
Yeah.
There's tall. And it's like, I'm tall. Why don't you call me Tall Adam? You're not that tall, White Adam. You're like 6'2". That's not that tall.
Moving on.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Okay, so we are in the warm-up, and I just wanted to take this opportunity just to talk about something, nothing new. This is a sort of a topic we've touched on before, but recently Sherry has been kind of getting a little more into reading comics. She's, you know, read some in the past. She likes those characters. She follows them. My wife. And she has been trying to collect some, you know, like pick up some here and there, like certain characters she likes. Like she was, had a bit of a Harley Quinn kick because of like the movie and like the animated show we kind of binge watched like real quick and it was really good. So, she was starting to pick up like the Amanda Connor and Jim Pagliotti run, which was kind of heavily influenced the show. And then it kind of went from there, like a few other things, like, oh, this character. And she sort of got into, like, the process of, like, collecting, like, books and trying to get issues. Like, I get a few issues here, but... And running into that situation where, like, you can't get everything you want. You can't always get what you want. And it's sort of a fun thing, because, like, we all are very used to this industry and how it operates and how publishing kind of works for these companies and how it can be very kind of frustrating, I guess, if you're kind of new to it, if you don't really understand like how much of a pain it can actually be at times to follow and collect things. So that's, so we've been going through that a little bit and to touch on. There's stuff that had been, that I had noticed before and had heard talked about before, but just so backwards sometimes. Like, for example, this isn't one of the ones that were on her list necessarily, but we did notice during when WandaVision was airing. So the House of M trade paperback, the Vision trade paperback, out of print. Can't get them.
Oh.
Yeah, stuff like that. Noticing right now, she was looking up, like, Zatanna. She wanted to, like, you know, pick up, like, get, like, a collection of Zatanna books, which is also out of print. And it was, like, originally published, like, 3 years ago, and it's already out of print, and they just announced recently a Zatanna movie is coming. And, you know, there's, like, nothing for people to be like, oh, maybe I should check this character out.
They would put that stuff back into print when they had associated media...
Yeah,
coming out.
Like, you'd think
that'd be the smart business thing to do.
But that might be the reason it is particularly out of print at the moment. They let one... It's like Watchmen. Like, how many editions of Watchmen have there been?
Yeah.
They did one...
There's only one edition for me. The Ultimate Edition.
The Ultimate Platinum Radioactive Edition.
Yeah.
But it's like one dies out, and then they're like, no, we're going to put them out in, like, a different format or whatever.
Right. What if the book was slightly smaller? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole pictorial section in the back of this Watchmen where they keep mailing Alan Moore copies of, like, the movie and the TV show and, like, the video game they made when the movie came out.
I forgot about the video game.
Yeah. Literally own it and haven't played it. I got it for, like, $2. It's probably not worth it. So he's just checking his mail and they're, like, taking candid photos from the bushes of him, like, opening it and getting really mad. And there's just a series of photos of that happening.
And he goes back into his cave like an angry bear.
Yeah.
But they coax him out with picnic baskets.
Yeah.
Sorry, Merc. He performs magic with what?
He just performs some sort of magical spell on the mail that's been sent to him, like, and casts it into another dimension.
Yeah.
And then goes back into his cave.
He transmorgifies it into Little Lulu, which he famously loves.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. So well, yeah,
that... change this into pornography.
So obviously, like, the direct market system can be pretty complicated, hard to navigate, especially in newbies, but, like, the weirdness was just, I guess it's just how things shake out sometimes, where it's sort of like, oh, okay, I want to get, like, volume 1 and 2 of this comic. I can get volume 1, I'm going to order, but then, you know, the shop checks and it's, the distributor doesn't have any. So you check at another store, same situation. So you're in the situation where it's like, oh, so I can get volume 2 and I can't get volume 1 and I might not ever be able to get it again. Then you can get it digitally. You can get it digitally. But at that point,
and print
it's
out,
like,
the pages.
And print out the pages, yeah. But
make
you
your
know,
own
digital,
comics.
It's great that, like, digital is great for that reason where, like, mostly stuff stays available unless there's licensing issues, but it's, you know, you're not going to pay the same amount of money you did for a digital copy. So at that point, they're almost encouraging people to just steal it.
So is she only looking to, like, she's only pursuing trades, or is she looking at individual issues?
Kind of
both.
Kind of both.
Explore that. Yeah.
Mostly right. Like trades. You know, if, like, a run has been completed or something, trades are kind of the best option. But sometimes individual issues just sort of depends. But that's the same thing, right? I mean, like, filling those gaps. I mean, that's part of the fun, is hunting down a particular issue. But sometimes you run out of options and it's just like, oh, I just can't find this anywhere. So that sucks.
Yeah, I might find it in 10 years at, like, a flea market or something.
Exactly. And that's fine, too. I just...
that's fine. But waiting 10 years on a maybe kind of sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
That's true. So that's just, I don't know, just going through that experience and sort of seeing it happen and just sort of seeing the frustration. I'm just like, I know that frustration. That's, I get that. But
I feel your pain.
Yeah.
I feel your pain.
So it's fun, but at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of problems with this entire system that have been existing for an extremely long time and haven't really changed at all.
Yeah.
And the thing too about digital, right? Like, digital's great and all, but it sort of feels to me like, I will buy stuff digital if it's, like, cheap. If it's, like, really on sale on Comixology, I'll, like, download some stuff. I got, like, most of the Power Rangers comic run that way just because it was, like, really on sale, like, dirt cheap. But, you know, we've seen it happen with, like, movies and especially video games, especially recently, where you have, like, entire storefronts being taken down. And there's a lot of games that are just going to be gone. forever. If things aren't going to stay in print, and I mean, like, these are, you're not ever really buying for an actual, you don't own anything, you're like licensing it. And if they decide, what, for whatever reason, like some contract expires, or like somebody just decides, hey, like in comics, for example, like, we're not doing business with you anymore out of nowhere, then those could all just disappear.
But yeah, part of it is also just that idea that comic companies print everything. Like, yeah, every series that comes out, well, there's going to be a trade for it. And it's more common now, but if you go back even a little bit, and even really now, you might have like just one trade goes out and it's there for a year or two and then it's gone. And then if it doesn't get picked up again, like, how many comics exist? How many series runs, little tiny runs, ones that were like 12 issues and that's it? You might never see even a trade of that.
Yeah.
So it's that weird concept that they're like, well, you put it out, of course you're going to keep making money off of it. It's like, well, no. Like, there's so much. We can't print everything. There's just so much colossal amount of material that you can't. There's no way you could do that.
Right. No, absolutely. Anyway, that's all I have to say, I guess. And that's technically a warm-up.
And now for this.
John Oliver's gonna sue us.
Master Wayne, it appears that Bane's broken all the inmates out of Arkham Asylum again.
Looks like it's going to be another late night. Alfred, has the RNC coffee subscription arrived?
Of course, sir.
Good.
Father, could I have some coffee?
Sorry, Damien. I'm afraid it'll stunt your growth.
Ah, the Batman. You know that with this venom coursing through my veins, I've been able to break you once. What makes you think I can't do it again?
Because, Bane, this time I've got something coursing through my veins, too.
Batman signed up for a Rosencrantz Roasting Co. coffee subscription. He was able to choose his coffee and subscription frequency, and now, just like crime, he never sleeps.
I could even save 10% off my first order using the coupon code ZEROISSUES at checkout, since I'm not rich.
But you are rich. Everyone knows that you're Bruce Wayne. Ah, my face!
Rosencrantz Roasting Co. Love the coffee you drink.
And drink the coffee you love.
So this week we are talking about resurrection in comic books, because it was Easter last week and some guy did that on Easter. Maybe.
Never heard of him.
So, I mean, maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Sort of depends on who you ask. Some people say yes. Some people say no. Some people say, I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, we should probably
get off my stoop and leave me alone and that sort of thing.
Why are you in my kitchen? Why are you eating my cereal?
Are those my pants?
Yeah. All things Kyle said to me.
Well, it's my cereal. And those are my pants.
Why are you eating cereal in my pants?
Why are you eating cereal out of my pants? I mean, that's my fault for keeping cereal in the pockets.
Listen, this is all just your opinion, and it's okay to have opinions. Moving on.
Resurrection is the topic. I said that already.
I have one thing I want to start with real quick. There's been a lot of, like, every comic character has been resurrected at one point. Famously, right. Obviously, you have Superman, who died and then rose again after many crossovers, I think. You know, as is the way.
Really?
Yeah. It was about 3 months, right? On the third month, like he rose
three
again?
Months. Yeah. 3 months. Nope. Yeah. He took his time. But in comic time, it was only 3 days. So that's fine.
Right.
So, of course, he had his regeneration matrix. So that's something that you can put his body in with some, like, DNA, and then he regenerates. He has his recovery suit he had to wear afterwards before he was fully healed up and back to normal. So, like, this is just stuff that he has. Like, Kryptonians always had a get-out-of-death-free machine?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it works as long
as the planet is still there and hasn't exploded. Because you can't come back from an exploded planet.
No.
Well, I mean, maybe somebody could, like, fissure charred corpse out of the atmosphere. Presuming you weren't disintegrated. Out of the vacuum of space and then pop you in the machine. Has he tried it? I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's tried it because it worked fine for him. It worked fine for his clone, who also died and came back using this machine. So, I mean, where are the stakes? Come on, man.
I actually, relating to that, I was sort of thinking, like, what would happen if the death and return of Superman, if he never came back?
Oh.
Like, what's the shakeout there?
Hmm.
My thought on it was, you know, Superboy becomes Superman, and eventually, yeah, you know, there's some brain, oh, we've got a saved copy of him on 9 floppy disks or 2 CDs.
Oh.
And just, you know, upload it into his brain, and then all of a sudden he's Clark again, because he's already a clone.
That's true.
You could, and just that's under the assumption that they never did the half Lex thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was a later retcon. Yeah, I suppose so. Like, who else could it be? I mean, Steel's cool, but he doesn't really have any powers. He just has a cool suit. Eradicator is the Eradicator. You can't trust that guy. Cyborg, no. Superman, he's not a that Superman can't even at all.
Eradicator can't even get to the top of the squash ladder.
That's true.
Would they just keep milking the multiple Superman over and over?
Yeah.
It's more what, books. They what, could you do
think,
multiple
you
books.
You think they would do that?
I imagine.
Just in some weird alternate universe?
Yeah, yeah.
Reign of the Superman just
54.
Yeah. Reign of the Superman just goes on and on forever. Like, all of the stuff they did with that character after the fact, like, they're all electric for a while, all 4 of them.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. They all get rebooted with the same, like, high-collar armor costume. It's like, there's just 4 of them. There have always been 4 of them.
Well, what if we can have a very, you know, long-lasting thing with Superman's clone that just goes on for years and years? And years.
And years.
And years. And I bet everyone would love it.
For sure. Those things usually people work out like great.
It people and look back on it fondly.
They love it when a clone replaces the real one. They love it. But I'd read it. That's all I can say.
So that one had his whatever resurrection goo.
It's a Matrix.
Whatever, the Matrix, his yeah. resurrection.
Yeah,
resurrection
he just chilled out for a bit and watched the entire Matrix trilogy. And by the time he finished the third one, he was like, this guy's flying like, around. I've yeah. got it.
I feel positive I could do it too.
Oh, yeah.
There's that, and then there's like the Lazarus pit in the Ra's al Ghul Batman mythos. Is there any others like that? Like, I'm sure there's other points of resurrection.
Or like a way to do it.
Well, there's yeah. like, okay, there's the fake out where it's like, oh, this person who died, it was an alien or it was a duplicate or it was another version from an alternate universe or it was a robot.
Or it was
an alien robot duplicate from an alternate universe.
Yeah. Normal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regular comic stuff, yeah. Or just the usual, like, I thought you were dead. Nope.
Nah.
No, what I've happened? Been here the whole time playing bass.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I thought, but you died. Didn't you die? What happened to you? It's like, eh, I didn't die.
And then they're just like,
it's a pretty sweet bass line. Well, I have no further questions.
Check it out. I'm going to do Tommy the Cat.
Oh my god.
Tommy the Cat resurrected me?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That actually leads me to one of my things that I had picked out. And it kind of links to what Bri was talking about in the warm up with collecting and missing an issue or two.
Mm-hmm.
I've been collecting Uncanny X-Men for years, kind of off and on. That's when I was a kid, but that started around issue 200 and went on from there. Lately, I've been going back and finding issues and filling in the gaps before that. And in the past year with the COVID thing, I've been busting into my long boxes and short boxes and just pulling out chunks of issues.
You're going to ruin your comics if you do that.
I know. It sounded gross. I just my comic box.
That's not what I meant.
God. I know. I was trying to divert it.
Well, too bad.
Tried and failed.
I pulled out
X-Men, that doesn't work
X-Men,
either.
And just started reading those. I'm just ignoring you now. Got to about issue 154, 155. This is Corsair returns, and he doesn't know. Scott doesn't know that
Scotty
Corsair
doesn't know
is his dad yet.
Scotty doesn't know.
Um, and he's pursued by the Shi'ar and Deathbird and the Brood. This is the first appearance of the Brood, too. And they're fighting the X-Men in the streets. And I think it's one of the Brood shoots Colossus. And Colossus is in armored form, of course. And he jumps in front of Professor X to save him. And he shoots Colossus in the chest with like some sort of acid gun or something.
Okay.
And it makes the steel on him, the metal, like bubble. And he's like,
"Ah, Professor, I am burning my nipples."
Professor X actually goes into his head and turns off
his pain receptors,
or like the pain receptors or whatever, and so he's not hurting anymore. Then the rest of the X-Men go after Deathbird. They tell Colossus to look after Professor X, and then in like one scene later, all of a sudden Deathbird has Professor X and is like using him as a shield, and they're like, "We thought Colossus was protecting him," and they go to find him, and there's like buildings blown up and there's rubble all over the place. They find Peter underneath the rubble, and he's got like a spike straight through his chest. He's in human form now. He's not in metal form, and it's this thing right out of the back through the front. He's lying there dead, and they say he's dead. And then going off what you were talking about with issues and collecting, I don't have the next couple of issues, but that ended on 155, where it's like, he's dead. Then I don't have 56 or 57. I have 158, and I open it up, and he's resting up, and he's going to be fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what do you think happened?
I don't know. 3 issues later? 3 days later?
Issue ends with, like, he's dead. And then the first page, of the splash page, like, he's dead at the end of the comic. You pick up the next issue, the first splash page. He's dead is what we'd be saying if he was dead, which he's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they didn't lie to you.
I mean, he's also serious about going to Mount Splashmore.
That's true. Yeah.
Or Itchy and Scratchy Land, wherever.
One of the two.
They're actually on Magneto's tropical island that he had raised in the Caribbean, and they're hanging out there. And he's like, he's looking pretty good. He's like, "I'm a little weak still, but not too bad. I only died. Everything's fine.
Yep.
My nipples have reformed.
Thanks for saving me, Colossus. You would have done the same for me."
"I wouldn't have."
"Not really. I'm horrible."
Yeah. "Oh, because you can't don't know walk. That no. Yet.
Wait, you think he's horrible? Because
no,
maybe that was just part of the delay.
It was the delay. It was anyway. Saying it's like, "Oh, you wouldn't have because you can't walk, right?" It's like, no, that's not why.
"I'm just a real piece of garbage."
Yeah,
but you won't find that out for another 10 years or so.
Oh yeah, and then they won't stop. Somebody really doesn't like their dad, and they're writing comics. "Are you a father figure? You're garbage." So
what else?
I have,
moving on.
And we have talked about Resurrections before. And part of me was like, should I go back and see if we talked about this exact thing before? But you know what?
Bring up those dead topics.
We're a better show now, so we've earned it. If we're covering the material again, don't listen to the old episode. We don't want you to. You're not allowed. So instead, listen to this episode that you're currently listening to. Oh no. So there's a few situations where somebody has died in a very famous comic, very well received comic, and then they bring them back. We have to decide once and for all. We have to vote. Is it worth it or not? Is it worth it undoing this classic story to have this character back amongst the living? So we have to decide this right now, and I have a little list.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to start with an easy one, and also he's in a show right now, so we're going to start with our old friend Bucky Barnes, who died. I don't know if he actually died in a comic. I think they just sort of revealed that he died when Cap showed up in Avengers. I don't remember if that was in an actual
comic. They did like a flashback comic where Cap talked with like Nick Fury about it.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So Bucky died, obviously, and then much later came back as a Winter Soldier. Good call. I think that's an obvious yes.
That one, I think that's a yes, for sure.
Yeah. That was done correctly. Like, there's enough time. If you are going to do it, so much time, and it's actually a fantastic storyline that they did. They didn't just be, they weren't like, "Oh, he's just back, and everything's okay now. He's back to Bucky." It was an actual good storyline.
Yeah, and I think that the thing, too, is you sort of have to transform the character in the process a little bit. You have to actually do something new and interesting with them. If it's just like, you brought him back and everything's the way it used to be, it sort of feels like, oh, okay. Doesn't feel like you're really pushing anything forward, so. On that note, Norman Osborn.
Which time?
Yeah.
Well, we died after he killed Gwen Stacy, and then he came back, like, after the clone saga. He was like, I was pulling all the strings. Everything bad that happened in your life was me. Secretly, behind the scenes. And then he was just sort of... I guess he was a bit different. He was sort of almost like a Lex Luthor-y character for a while, where he was more consciously Norman Osborn, but the Green Goblin. Like, you know, back in the old days, it was sort of like he'd forget he was the Green Goblin, and he would...
That always seemed like such a... That was a... I feel like it's better that he knows that he's a jerk.
I would say.
Well, I think just, like, in corporate America, by that point, he became the corporate mogul, kind of like Luther did, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just embracing that part of it, yeah.
It was a little more innocent. Like, back then, you know, he was, like, he owned a company and stuff like that, and he was, like, a scientist and stuff like that. But then, like, you know, things got way more corporate conglomerate-y, so I feel like there was more to do with him, so... How are we leaning? Good choice? Good choice? Bad choice?
I think good choice.
Overall, yeah, I think it's a good choice. Because, there's a lot of storylines that revolved around out of that. Like, some of them good, some of them bad, but
yeah.
I think overall...
I think it could have been done better, but I think overall, yeah, as a result of it, good end result, so...
I would say. Good. They've done good stories with them since then, and they did new stuff, so I would agree. How about Harry? How about Harry Osborn? He's back.
I don't think he ever needed to die.
That's true. Good story.
I'm not even familiar with that story.
Yeah, I to be honest, I think
he basically had like a goblin serum drug overdose, basically, and just friggin' died.
Him and Speedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shooting up.
Holding a dead cat in an alley. Friends!
Will you be my Valentine?
Jason Todd. Do you think the Red Hood is worth having around?
You know what? I think so. Yeah. As much as we like to bag on Jason Todd on this show, I think you know, Death in the Family holds up. There are enough good Red Hood stories, or even you know, his first appearance, not counting that Hush Bull. not counting that, like, him coming back was interesting enough, and they did enough with it that I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, not my favorite character, but I feel like a good one to have in the mix.
They did some really weird stuff with him when he was first back, and they didn't really know what to do with him exactly. And they're like, okay, we did the Red Hood thing for a bit. Let's try to do some other stuff with him. And none of it really worked, so they were just like, oh, no, let's just go back to the Red Hood thing.
I kind of enjoy, like, they tried to make him, like, an out-and-out villain for a while there, but I kind of enjoy him just sort of being, like, just, you know, you have a family, you have a bunch of sons, one of them's just kind of a not great. You love
That's
him.
What's gonna That's what's going to happen.
You love him, but he keeps messing up. He's just like, ah, all right. It's not bad. I kind of like that part. What about Jean Grey? And again, I'm talking about both times. So Jean Grey coming back in X-Factor, and also Jean Grey coming back more recently. Separately. Let's talk about the 80s, bringing her back in X-Factor after she died as the Dark Phoenix.
I'll be honest, like everyone knows the Dark Phoenix story, but I can't even... And I remember X-Factor coming out, but at that time I was like, I don't think I registered that this was an actual resurrection, because I just wasn't really... I hadn't seen some of those characters in a while. I was just like, oh, now they're just bringing her back. I assumed that she had been resurrected before. I don't even... Is there an explanation of how she was?
Oh, it's really dumb.
Yes,
but
it's an explanation.
Okay, buddy.
Giant X. It's, so they said the Phoenix Force wasn't her at all. It just took her form, I guess. And she was like... in a cocoon or something in the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, that was the cocoon thing. Yeah. Right. Okay,
But then later on, I think they basically kind of almost undid that. It got very vague.
Yeah, they were
actually.
Like, no, like, nah. I do have Phoenix powers. Like, but you weren't ever. But I do. But why? Because I do.
Wink, wink. Because yeah. I'm a butterfly. I came out of the cocoon.
Because it makes telepathy and telekinesis look interesting when there's like a fiery sort of thing going on with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
And then she yeah. died again.
Because yep. the artist needs something to draw when I do something. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So I have to do some pink lines. Sure.
Some squiggles. Yeah.
Some squiggles.
Yeah. What am I, Psylocke or something?
Yeah, some butterflies.
And she's back. And we have to do every single time she got resurrected on Krakoa too, obviously. So we're going to be at this for a while. No.
yeah, really.
First time good. Second time bad. Third time not so good. Fourth time. Yeah. Fifth time. Yeah. Whoa, boy. She came out wrong.
Yeah. Just like an arm growing out of her head.
Put me back. Put me back. Yeah.
It's her coming out party.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Gene, like, you don't overdo it.
I'd say.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah. There's an argument that, like, maybe the first one was good, but maybe the second time. Did she have to die again? No, not really.
Yeah.
She's not going to stay dead. You know she's not going to stay dead. No. Stop killing her.
There's sometimes just those big iconic characters that have those iconic storylines of, like, the Phoenix. Like, maybe don't approach that again.
Yeah.
Just do it once.
Yeah, movie studios.
And then, yeah, really? Yeah, really. Don't do the movie again.
Telling the same story again and again and again doesn't lead to something good? That's weird, right?
That's odd.
I don't even remember how that last X-Men movie ended. I assume Gene died, but I don't remember exactly.
It was vague.
We all died a little bit.
Yeah, we did. A whole universe died, so.
Oh, God.
Whole company. The best one of all, Aunt May. Should Peter... Should she always, you know, is that something that they just won't cross that line? They'll cross that line for a minute and be like, nah, he can't not have his Aunt May.
That's one that I always thought, if you do her death right, just leave it. It's it becomes like an Uncle Ben thing. Like, it becomes a touchstone, and then you move on from there. And if you keep going back on it, you're like, what? Okay. Is this a sitcom now? Like, it just has no resonance.
It's really been a couple of times now.
Yeah, and it's like Gwen Stacy. Like, she never really came back. She came back and it was a clone, or it's, you know, her from an alternate universe. But, you know, Gwen Stacy, the actual one that died, has never come back, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, like, the
whereas with Aunt
like
May,
Aunt
they've
May.
Done so many fake outs.
Yeah, like, she had that death like in like the 90s where she's like, I know I've known your Spider-Man for a long time and I love you and I agree with all your choices. It's like, oh, that's nice. But then they're just like, ah, that sounds far too much like an adult. So no, Peter has to be a man child. So bring back his mom. And he will live in her basement.
But bring
like
back
me.
His cool mom who buys him pizza pops.
Ah, yeah. Good times.
Mm-hmm. Not pizza Harry pockets.
Osborn. Harry Osborn comes over. They play N64 in the basement. Yeah. We can live here forever. We could live here forever.
I have one last one to bring up.
Yeah.
Sure.
I found one story that I think I had heard mention of, but I didn't really know the story very well. So I haven't read the comic, but I looked up the synopsis and kind of went through a bunch of different issues to get the storyline. And it's the Hereafter storyline from Fantastic Four, 508 to 511 in 2004, written by Mark Waid. And it's the death of the Thing.
Yes.
In the lead up to this, Dr. Doom has been in hell.
Oh, Dr. Doom.
Now he's
it's
Professor
Mr.
Doom.
It's Mr. Doom.
he's a doctor in Latveria, but he can't practice in the States.
Right.
He comes back out of hell, and I guess he's a ghost or just a spirit or something, because he starts possessing the Fantastic Four. And at one point, he possesses the Thing. He grabs Johnny and is, like, threatening to kill him. And he'd already possessed them all and kind of jumped around.
Yeah.
He was, like, trying to kill people. And
he was like, ha-ha, now you kissed your sister.
Luke. But he grabs Johnny. He's about to kill him. So Reed has no choice. And also Reed's a terrible human being. So he blasts Thing in with a gun that Nick Fury had given him and blasts him in the chest, blowing a hole into his chest. When his last words, he says, "I thought I would have died closer to Yancey Street," or something like that. Then he goes out with,
"What a revolting development."
Those are also going to be my last words.
It's your last. Hopefully. It's your last show. You got to sing the hits.
Yeah. So 6 weeks later, it's really unclear because it is a synopsis, so you don't really know what's going on. But it sounds like Johnny is maybe talking to Ben's ghost in his daydreams or something. Yeah, everyone's a little messed up. Reed is in the lab, so he's back to usual. But Reed's going to get Ben back. So he rebuilds Dr. Doom's talk to the afterlife iPhone or something, whatever sort of machine that he's got, that I guess he talked to his mom in hell with. And Reed steals Ben's body from the military, and he proclaims that there's
Sounds like he gave his body to the military in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I did give that to you. I was only loaning it. I want that back.
I want my corpse back.
But I want my Ben back.
Yeah.
So he proclaims that it's still got a spark of life in it. So Reed says, proclaims, "I'm traveling to heaven to get back Ben's soul." So it's not like the Lazarus Pit or like...
No, he's just going to go up there and start knocking angel heads.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess Sue is a little, like, ethically, just maybe this might not be right, but the other
Someone
two are like...
Someone has to in this family.
Like, yeah. The other two are like, well, it's like going to the negative zone. We're just going to another frontier. Everything's fine. So then by the time they have that ending, I guess, issue 509, 510... It starts with them in heaven. They're there. They've just found heaven.
How'd they get there?
They just went there. I don't know. Who knows?
That's fair.
But apparently angels are there, and they say, "You don't belong here," but they don't do anything, but they just wave a finger.
Yeah, they're very ineffectual.
Ben is apparently in line to get into heaven with his dead brother, and he's aware that...
Oh, so he cut in line or what?
He's apparently like at a big door, and he's trying to get in, but he can't quite get in. Like, he's pulling on the door, but it won't let him in.
Mm-hmm.
But he's aware that the other Fantastic Four are there and trying to get to him.
Let me in!
Yeah, they encounter Sue and Johnny encounter their parents, and they also encounter Franklin and Valeria, which I guess they died. Did they die? I don't know.
Maybe
this
like,
is what I didn't understand.
Time has no meaning there. One of those situations. Who knows?
I don't know. Then God starts playing rough, and he's like, "It's like
he starts playing rough."
A flood of blood, like blood comes flying, and they get caught in this flood. And Ben decides, "I'm going to go save my friends." So he pulls his friends out and pulls them to where he is at the door. Ben explains that they're not in heaven yet. They're just in the suburbs of heaven, and they're just waiting at the door.
Oh, they're in
to get in.
They're in Hamilton.
Ugh.
Oh, God. The armpit of heaven.
Oh, no.
And then his brother, the dead brother, explains that Ben was the one actually keeping them away because he didn't want them to see who created the door and who might be keeping Ben out, was the explanation. I was like, okay. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Sure. Then Reed looks at the door and discovers, hey, that's one of my designs. He designed a door in heaven.
What a dick.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's like, what? Now Reed's designing everything.
Well, he can go there anytime he wants, apparently. So he just went in there and put this door like, I don't think so.
So then in the final issue, Reed realizes... Ben is on life support, like the real Ben is on life support,
okay.
With all these machines that Reed designed. So that's what the door is, like some sort of manifestation of that.
So you're saying heaven is a place on Earth?
It could be. And Belinda Carlisle can bring you in.
Thank you for knowing who sang that song, because I didn't.
And there you go. So Ben tears down this door and finds another rock door behind, and he's gonna, like, he's ready to enter heaven and officially die, whatever. So then Ben turns to the rest of them and says, I've led
a good
life. What a
revolting of development.
I bet you Yancey Street's in here. He's like, I've had a good life. Thanks for coming, Scram. I'm gonna go on. And everyone gets awful sad. And Johnny gets super torchy angry, and he's like, you're not my Ben. My Ben would fight. And they all start, like, sinking in a hole. This is the synopsis description, that they're all sinking in a hole of their own sadness or something. And Ben is saying to Reed, please snap out of it. Like, it's okay. Like, I've led a good life, and you can go back, and everything will be fine. But he just keeps being sad and guilting him until Ben agrees, okay, I'll go back to the land and living with you. So Reed guilted him out of heaven. Horrible.
Wow.
He's a bad friend.
Yeah. So he agrees to do that. They're going to go back. So what do? They're then offered a chance to meet God for some reason. So they go through this door. They emerge in a den with a middle-aged man at a drawing table.
Right, of course.
Of course.
We know who that is.
And in the synopsis,
Mike
of course,
Waringo.
It's Mike Mignola. And of course, it doesn't say Kirby, but of course it's Kirby. He talks a bit.
And he sucks them all up and gets their powers. And
yeah, right.
Of course.
He rides away on a star.
he talks to them a bit. He does a little sketch and he hands it to them. They grab it and poof, they're back home. They're back in the land of the living. They look at the sketch and it says, Reed, you're a horrible human being. Love God.
Love God.
No, it doesn't.
Love God.
No, it has a picture of older versions of them and it says, to be continued. Like, you were meant to keep going.
Live forever. Right? Never get to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, how bizarre is that?
It's very bizarre. What year was this? 2004?
2004.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that run a lot. It was a weird spot. It almost felt like they were kind of doing like a weird ending or something, but then it just kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know what to tell you on that one. Yeah, little interesting. Little interesting. I always took it to be like Jack Kirby. He wasn't actually God, but he just roughed up God and shoved him in a closet and be like, I ain't putting up with this. Killing off Ben Grimm, forget that. You're going back. Oh, come on. Don't you come on me. And just back and forth for a while.
Wait, does God also have Jack Kirby's voice? Or?
Yes. Yes. It's just three
Deep
of them.
Deep in our soul, we all have Jack Kirby's voice.
We're all Jacks down here. Around here on Yancey Street.
The Yancey Street gang never wanted to fight you. I sent that challenge, and you stepped into my trap.
And that's the end of that chapter.
And that's the end of that episode, I think.
I think so.
Yes.
Well, thanks for joining us, as always. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. We appreciate K. Preston Merkley, Ocean City Defender, for the wonderful, wonderful music. We appreciate Rosencrantz RNC Coffee for being our sponsor, and you should definitely check them out. You should definitely put in that Zero Issues promo code and get yourself a little bit off.
And we appreciate you, the listener.
Fair Verona.
Yeah. I appreciate Merc and whatever website he has to share with you.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Bray. You can find me, Merc, at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca, Merc on Facebook, Merconaut Like Astronaut on Instagram.
I think we also appreciate Kyle, wouldn't you say, Kyle? What would you say about that, Kyle?
Well, I would say, hey, thank you, I appreciate your appreciation. And let's all appreciate the miracle that is the internet by using your internet device to go to thekylelees.com or by looking up thekylelees on your Instagram or Facebook even, and checking out the stuff that wonderful Kyle Lees does.
Yeah.
But most of all,
I appreciate that.
Most of all, we appreciate the ice cream man. And he brings us ice cream. And that's, like, that's just the best. But Bri's good, too.
Eh. I don't know. Welcome to hereafter.com. He's fine. And that's the show.
We got deep into the appreciation hole. We completely forgot that the topic of the episode was, like, you know, death and things coming back from the dead. And we maybe should have, like, worked that in. But instead, we just got on the appreciation train.
You know what? Death makes you appreciate life.
There it is.
Oh, wrapped it up.
Ooh, stop.
Tune in next week when we figure out something to do at the start.
It'll be Lucy. Oh, it'll be Goosey. It'll be Busey. Jake Busey.